Well, this morning we took a look at a passage of Scripture that for some people can be very confusing. And what we learn from this passage of Scripture is this. That God has a specific order in the body of Christ, but also in the local home. The husband is to be in total submission to Jesus Christ. Christ is to be his head, his covering. Then here on earth, the husband is to be a type of covering for his wife. As the Bible says, honoring her as the weaker vessel. And the image this presents to us is this. When the husband is in proper order to Jesus Christ, then he is going to receive from Christ and then pass it on to his wife and his family. This is very similar to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, I am submitted to the leadership and covering of Jesus Christ in my life. And if you will submit to the teaching and the preaching that I give unto you, then you will be able to receive the blessing that Christ is pouring out on me. This does not mean that we cannot receive a blessing on our own. But what Paul was explaining is this. As I receive from Christ, then I will pass it on to you. And there's a very powerful blessing in that. But we want to see a variation on this theme. Turn over to Psalm chapter 133. Psalm 133. And we're going to read this entire psalm. It's only three verses long. In Psalm 133, just begin reading in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Tazama jinsi ilivyo vema na kupendeza ndugu wakae pamoja kwa umoja. Ni kama mafuta mazuri kichwani yashukayo ndefuni ndevu za Haruni, yashukayo mpaka upindo wa mavazi yake. Kama umande wa Hamoni ushukao milimani pa Sayuni. Maana ndiko Bwana aliko amuru baraka. Naam.
He says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So here's how we have imagined this verse. I need to get along with you, and you need to get along with me. We cannot have any strife between us. I have to walk in love and forgiveness toward you. And you have to walk in love and forgiveness toward me. Now that is not wrong. However, this verse means so much more. I'm going to share with you one of the greatest keys to understanding the Bible. We are no longer under the law of Moses. But yet we do not have permission to sin. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul has told us this, that things which happened in the Old Testament are examples for us today. We are no longer under the law, but we are living in the kingdom of God's dear Son. When we are reading the Bible, instead of just reading it and thinking, praise God, this is wonderful truth, we can ask ourselves this question. What kingdom truth is contained in this passage? How would this verse, this chapter, this passage apply to me in the kingdom? Now let's think about this whole thing of unity. I can love you, I can be nice to you, I can walk in total forgiveness towards you. We can greet each other with a handshake and a hug. We can go out and share a meal together. But does this really mean we're walking in unity? You see, I can do all of those things with an atheist. I can love that person and forgive that person. I can demonstrate love and forgiveness and kindness to that person. I might even be in a situation to sit down and share a meal with that person. But am I walking in unity with that atheist? Not really. Because we all know that an atheist does not even believe in God. So immediately we understand, even though the atheists and I are getting along with each other, we are not in true unity. Right along with that, as we take a look at this as it applies to the kingdom, if I am being nice, kind, and friendly to other Christians, and they're being nice, kind, and loving to me, God is well pleased with that. But does He see that as walking in unity? Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says this.
Katika mstari huo, mstari wa tatu inasema hivi.
Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Katika Amos 3:3 inaweza je, watu wawili wanaweza kutembea pamoja kama hawajakubaliana kweli?
This walk together does not simply mean walk down the street together.
Wacha nikwambie, hii kutembea pamoja ambao Biblia inazungumzia haijamaanisha kuteremka mti pamoja au kutembea njia ni watu wawili.
It's talking about, can these two people walk their journey through life together?
Hii inamaanisha ya kwamba hao watu wawili wanaweza kutembea maisha yao pamoja mpaka mwisho.
If they are disagreed.
Ikiwa hawaelewani.
But if we are in agreement,
lakini ikiwa tunaelewana,
then we're going to be able to walk together through our entire lives.
Tutatembea pamoja maisha yetu yote.
From God's perspective,
kulingana na Mungu na jinsi Mungu anaitazama,
the whole concept of unity
maana ya umoja
goes far beyond just being nice.
Imepita kuwa marafiki.
If you have a bookmark, leave it in Psalm 133.
Ikiwa una karatasi ndani ya Biblia yako, uiweke kwenye Zaburi 133 kwanza, tunaenda mbali nyingine.
And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1.
Alafu tuangalie kitabu cha Waefeso mlango wa kwanza.
We will come back to Psalm 133.
Tutarudi kwenye Zaburi 133.
I'm sorry, make that Ephesians chapter 2.
Samahani, ni Waefeso mlango wa pili.
Ephesians chapter 2.
Waefeso mlango wa pili.
Now let's pick this up in verse 19.
Tuangalie katika mstari wa 19.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Basi tangu sasa, ninyi si wageni wala wapitaji, bali ninyi ni wenyeji pamoja na watakatifu, watu wa nyumbani mwake Mungu. Mmejengwa juu ya msingi wa mitume na manabii, naye Kristo Yesu mwenyewe ni jiwe kuu la pembeni. Katika yeye jengo lote linaungamanishwa vema na kukua hata liwe hekalu takatifu katika Bwana. Katika yeye ninyi nanyi mmejengwa pamoja kuwa maskani ya Mungu katika Roho.
Now here we see that we have been born again, and now we are part of the household of God. We are fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. And he says that we are built upon, or we are spiritually established and grow up upon, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So here I am, I'm born again. I'm in the kingdom. But my spiritual growth and maturity is dependent upon one thing.
Lakini kukua kwangu kiroho inategemea hii jambo moja.
The foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Misingi ya mitume na manabii.
And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that foundation.
Na Yesu Kristo ndiye jiwe kuu la pembeni na la huo msingi.
So here's the image this is presenting.
So hii ndio mfano ambao inaelezwa mahali hapa.
Jesus Christ is the cornerstone.
Yesu Kristo ndiye jiwe kuu la pembeni.
The apostles and the prophets have submitted to his covering and leadership.
Mitume na manabii walijiweka chini ya ulinzi na uongozi wa Yesu Kristo.
Jesus has delivered unto them the doctrine for the church.
Yesu aliwapatia mitume na manabii mafundisho ya kanisa.
The apostles and the prophets turn around and pass that teaching on to me.
Mitume na manabii waligeuka wakanipatia yale mafundisho.
Then I take that teaching and apply it to my life. And I begin to grow and mature spiritually. In verse 21 it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." Think of the building as us. As we receive and apply the teaching of the apostles and prophets, I become one of the bricks in this building. Each of you becomes one of the bricks in this building. And we are fitly framed together. And the goal is for us to become a holy habitation. For the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, what if one of the bricks refuses to receive from the apostles and prophets? The apostles and prophets teach that the bricks are supposed to be square. But what if one of the bricks says, "I don't want to be square"? I want to be round. What if another brick says, "I want to be a triangle"? What if another brick says, "Well, I want to be this shape over here"? Are those bricks going to be in unity with the rest of the bricks? No, they're not. And the building is not going to fit together properly. Now look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ."
Lakini kila mmoja wetu alipewa neema kwa kadri ya kipimo cha kipawa chake Kristo.
That means each one of us has received a gift.
Hiyo inamaanisha kila mmoja wetu amepokea kipawa.
And this gift is directly related to ministry.
Na hii kipawa inalinganishwa na huduma.
And God has said, "I am making all the grace you need available to you."
Na Mungu anasema ya kwamba mimi nakupatia ile neema yote ambayo unahitaji katika huduma.
It's the grace you're going to need to fulfill your gift.
Hiyo ndio neema ambayo utahitaji kutimiza ile huduma yako.
And in verse 8 we continue.
Mstari wa 8 inaendelea.
"Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men."
Hivyo husema alipopaa juu aliteka mateka akawapa wanadamu vipawa.
And in verse 11 we begin to see what these gifts are.
Na katika mstari wa 11 tunatazama vipawa hivi ni vipi.
"And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers."
Naye alitoa wengine kuwa mitume na wengine kuwa manabii na wengine kuwa wainjilisti na wengine kuwa wachungaji na walimu.
So you may be an evangelist brick.
So unaweza kuwa wewe ni matofali ya uinjilisti.
You might be a prophet brick.
Wewe unaweza kuwa ni matofali ya
You might be a pastor brick. Regardless of the kind of brick you are, the goal is for us to fit together. And we are supposed to receive that teaching from the apostles and prophets. Now notice it says that Jesus gave these gifts to us. Notice that Jesus said, that it says that Jesus gave these gifts to us. So immediately what are we seeing? Jesus as the head or the covering.
Yesu ambaye ni kichwa na pia ni kifuniko yetu.
Giving people these gifts.
Anapatia watu hivi vipawa.
The people are then to receive from Jesus.
Na watu watakuwa pale kupokea kutoka kwa Yesu.
Everything they need.
Chochote ambacho wanahitaji.
Including the teaching that they are to use in the fulfillment of their gift. Now these gifts are to work in this fashion. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Sikiliza kazi ya vipawa. Kwa kusudi la kuwakamilisha watakatifu, hata kazi ya huduma itendeke, hata mwili wa Kristo ujengwe, hata na sisi zote tutakapofikia umoja wa imani na kumfahamu sana mwana wa Mungu, hata kuwa mtu mkamilifu, hata kufika kwenye cheo cha kimo cha utimilifu wa Kristo.
So this teaching comes from Jesus.
Mafundisho haya yanatoka kwa Yesu.
The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor and teacher.
Walimu, mitume, manabii, wainjilisti na wachungaji.
Who have matured in the Lord and are receiving this teaching.
Watu waliokomaa kiroho na wakapokea mafundisho.
Are supposed to turn around and teach all of this to the body of Christ.
Inafaa waliokapokea mafundisho haya wafundishe wengine ambao ni mwili wa Kristo.
And the result of this teaching will be this.
Na mwisho wa mafundisho haya yatakuwa hivi.
That we will come in the unity of the faith.
Ili tufike katika umoja wa imani.
And this unity of the faith means this.
Kufika kwa umoja wa imani inamaanisha hivi.
That we will all come to a place of being unified in what we believe concerning the Word of God.
Ya kwamba watu wote watakuja kufika kwa imani moja kwa kile ambacho wameamini kuhusu Kristo.
That we will come to the place of complete unity.
Ya kwamba tutafika mahali ambapo tuko na umoja uliokamilika.
In our knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ.
Katika hali ya kumuelewa na kumfahamu Yesu Kristo.
That we will mature into this perfect man.
Ya kwamba tutakuwa na tupike katika kimo cha Kristo mwenyewe.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Katika kimo cha Kristo mwenyewe.
In other words, we will conform fully to His image.
Maana yake ni kwamba tukitembea tunatazama tuwe jinsi Kristo alivyo.
Now the result of verse 13 will be this.
Na sikiliza, matokeo ya mstari 13 itakuwa hivi.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Ili tusiwe tena watoto wachanga wakitupwa huku na huku, tukitupwa huku na huku, na kuchukuliwa katika upepo wa elimu kwa hila ya watu, kwa ujanja tukizifuata njia za udanganyifu.
So as the spiritually mature ministers are receiving the teaching from Jesus, By way of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, they are going to deliver unto us the line upon line truth of God's Word. As we receive and apply their teaching, we will be no more children. We will be spiritually mature. We will no longer be tossed to and fro by all kinds of doctrines. The doctrines that are taught by men who are lying in wait to deceive. These are preachers who are deceived themselves. They're like the ravening wolves just waiting to pounce on somebody. And God is telling us in this passage that if we receive this teaching from the mature preachers, that they have received from the Lord, we will come to the place of no longer being deceived. When we are deceived, we will speak deception. But if we follow the pattern of everything we've read here so far, verse 15 tells us what will take place. We will be speaking the truth in love, may grow up to Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Lakini ishike kweli katika upendo, na kukua hata tumfikie yeye, katika yote yeye aliye kichwa, yeye aliye kichwa, hii Biblia imeruka jamani. 4:15.
I'm sorry. That's
okay. Lakini ishike kweli katika upendo na kukua hata tumfikie yeye katika yote, yeye aliye kichwa Kristo. Ika yeye mwili wote ukiungamanishwa na kushikamanishwa kwa msaada wa kila kiungo, kwa kadri ya utendaji wa kila sehemu moja moja, hukuza mwili upate kujijenga wenyewe katika upendo.
We will no longer give heed to the deceiving teachers of those preachers.
Tukisoma na kufuata hii mambo, hatutasikiliza walimu wa uongo.
We will not be deceived any longer.
Hatutadanganywa tena.
And so instead of speaking deception,
so badala ya sisi kusema uongo,
we will be speaking truth.
Tutakuwa tunasema ukweli.
And speaking this truth results in us walking in the pure love of Almighty God. And this produces more and more spiritual growth in us. And then, as bricks in the building, we begin supplying the strength and the support every other brick needs so that the building will be strong and complete. A brick wall needs all the bricks that are in it. Because they provide strength and support for the entire structure. And when we are joined together in the unity of the faith,
na kama tumeungana pamoja katika umoja wa imani,
We begin constructing a wall that is impenetrable by the powers of the devil. Now look back over in Psalm
133.
And we're going to take another look at verse 1 of Psalm
133.
Now remember, this is God speaking. And He's looking down at us from His perspective. And here's how He sees it. How good and how pleasant it is for my children to dwell together in the unity of the faith. The church at Corinth had many divisions, strife, and contentions. This was because they were listening to so many different preachers who were deceiving them. And the Apostle Paul asked them, "Is Christ divided?" In essence, Paul was saying this. When it comes to teaching in the church, Christ is not divided. He is not giving one teaching to these people over here, a different teaching to this group over here, and then another teaching to this group over here. If you are receiving teaching that is coming from Christ, then it's going to be the same teaching everywhere. There is no such thing as American truth. There's no such thing as Kenyan truth. There's no such thing as Tanzanian truth. There is only one truth in the Word of God. And it is that truth that we are supposed to be walking in. That is the kingdom perspective God's speaking of in Psalm
133.
Now remember the imagery. Jesus is the head of the church. As the head, He gives instruction and teaching to the apostles and prophets. They turned around and gave to us the Holy Bible. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers today, are supposed to receive exclusively from the Word of God and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. They then turn around and pass that teaching unto us. We begin applying that teaching to our lives. We change and we grow. And the day will come when we will be the next generation passing this down to those who are younger. And if this is done the way God describes in Scripture, then every generation that rises up will be spiritually stronger than the previous.
Kila kisasi, kila mtu ambaye anatoka nyuma yetu atakuwa amejua neno la Mungu na ameokoka na aelewa
this is why Satan has fought so hard to keep Christians bound up in traditions. To keep Christians exalting their denominations and organizations above Jesus. To keep preachers exalting their position in their church. And thinking of themselves more highly than they are. Even the Apostle Paul said this. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We are just the bond slaves of Jesus Christ, doing the will of Almighty God. Now look at what God says about this unity in verse 2 of Psalm
133.
He says it is pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. Then he tells you what it's like. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Aaron was the high priest. And before he was able to serve in his position as a high priest, there were many things that he had to do. There were ceremonial washings. Then he had to put on certain garments. Then after he had gone through the washing and putting on the garments, a huge container of anointing oil was poured over his head. And that anointing oil began to run down his head. As it ran down his head, it saturated his beard. And then it began pouring down all of his garment. All the way down to the skirt. In other words, he was totally saturated by this anointing ointment. Jesus says that, the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest unto God. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. When we go through, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our ceremonial washing is the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us within. Then we put on our priestly garments. The Bible calls this the garments of salvation. But now the thing that remains is this anointing. And God is saying, you may indeed be washed in the blood of my Son. And yes, you are robed in the garments of salvation. And you might even be filled with the Holy Spirit. But when you start walking in the unity of the faith,
there
is an anointing that is going to be released from the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ. And that anointing is going to begin to saturate every part of your being. We talk about we want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that is something we should desire. But there is a different type of anointing that comes with unity. And we have to first come in unity with Jesus concerning His Word. And the more we, as the bricks, come in unity together in the doctrine, there is an anointing that will be released upon us and the entire body of Christ to do the works of Almighty God. And this anointing only comes as a result of the unity. This is an anointing that is separate from that special anointing we receive from the Holy Spirit. And then God compares it to something else in verse 3. He says, this anointing is like the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Maana ndiko Bwana alikoamuru baraka, naam, uzima hata milele.
There is a reason why he is using Mount Hermon as an illustration. Historically, it was said that on Mount Hermon, when you were up toward the top of that mountain, if you were there when that early morning dew began to settle in,
it was
so thick and heavy, it saturated everything that was up there on the mountain. Absolutely nothing was left dry. And God is saying that this anointing is so heavy and so saturating that it will touch every part of your spiritual being. Because now you have come into unity with Jesus Christ, and you've come into unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and the teaching that dwells on the inside of you is the truth that God has established for the body of Christ. But I want you to see something else in this. Look here in verse 3. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now look here. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore.
Kama umande wa Hamoni ushukao mlimani pa Sayuni, maana ndiko Bwana, angalia hapa. Maana ndiko Bwana akiliamuru baraka, naam, uzima hata milele.
Let me present this image. God has said this. When you will come in unity concerning the doctrine that I have given to the church, recorded in my word, and you are walking in unity in what you believe, because what you believe is firmly established upon my word, God says, then you are going to receive a blessing. Notice it says that this is where God has commanded the blessing. This means that God from His throne in heaven has spoken and commanded a blessing. And once God's word goes forth, it does not return void. That means that blessing is out there right now in the Spirit. It has been released. And it is just waiting for people to come into unity. And the moment we come into that unity, we don't have to ask for a blessing. That blessing automatically manifests in our life because God has commanded it to happen. God has said it will not fail to come to pass. And whenever God commands a blessing, it manifests in your life. This is why this whole week we have been talking so much of being firmly established in the Word of God, about keeping the Word of God line upon line and precept upon precept, about praying in the Holy Spirit, because this is what brings all of us into this place of unity in the faith. And there is a blessing that is waiting to manifest in our lives. There is an anointing from Almighty God that is just waiting to saturate us. This is why we have been stressing it so much. Because it works. Do you remember the reason that God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel? He said they are all speaking the same thing and nothing can be restrained from them. If such a thing was possible for a bunch of lost people who didn't even believe in Almighty God, what in the world is waiting for us as the body of Christ? If they couldn't be stopped in their pagan unity, we definitely cannot be stopped in spiritual unity. And in that unity and in that anointing, we will go out and destroy the works of the devil. We will bring revival to Kenya, to Congo, to Tanzania, to the entire continent of Africa, to the United States of America, to the entire planet Earth. And a mighty harvest of souls will be brought in. Then we're going to see Jesus come down stand, I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm going to be praying for me too. Father, I come before your throne of grace. And I lift all of us up today. Those of us who have just heard this sermon live. Those of us who have heard the recording. Whatever is existing in us that is in error, that is deception, that is wrong doctrine, Father, may we be willing to mortify those things. Purge those things out of our lives. May we remain teachable. May we be iron sharpening iron. And may we come to that place of unity in the faith. Because that is what is pleasant in your sight. Correct us where we need correcting, Father. May our knees constantly be bowed to your authority. And Jesus, all the praise and all the glory goes to you. We are changed by the power of your life. Father, may your word work mightily in us to bring about your perfect will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name Jesus.